So, Alphonse, are you on the call? You would like to go to the first slides before I go to a demo. Alphonse, we cannot hear you, even you are not muted.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, sorry. Thanks a lot. My name is Alphonse Mittermaier. I'm the managing director of High Street Technologies, and I would like to say a few initial words on the 5G Berlin and the 5G Berlin test network. If you proceeded, Martin, please, to the next slide.
I try. Okay.
Okay, and one more, because this is about then the live demo. So 5G Berlin is an association which basically everybody can become a member of. And it's a nonprofit organization, and the objective of 5G Berlin is to build a 5G test network, primarily for research projects and so on. And we have a spectrum license, as you can see here in this left box. It's in the city center of Berlin on the campus of the Technical University of Berlin, and it's being built by a consortium of universities, research institutes, bigger companies, and smaller companies. And we have now a basic setup up and running. So we have a macro base station residing on the building that you can see on the drawing. We are about installing 5G technology on street lamps and other street furniture. We have transport network connecting to that, being either fiber-based or wireless. And that is being built there and is now operational. And you can also see here on the right-hand side the OSNL. The OSNL is basically a test data center that is operated by High Street Technologies, but not alone, together with partners. So we are a group of almost 20 companies now that collaborate on SDN, 5G, Open RAN, and things like that. And we have a fiber connection to that 5G Berlin test network. And as you see, there is a triangle, and in this gray box there is the so-called i14 Wi-Lab. It's hosted by Deutsche Telekom in one of their research centers in Berlin. And but it's not purely, it's an open lab, not only a Deutsche Telekom lab, but for example other operators like Vodafone and Telefonica are working on it as well, together with a series of companies. It hosts the OTIC Europe labs of the Telecom Infra project and the ONF. And Martin, if you go one step further, you can see here on the write down basically the network as it is currently being built and partially up and running, as you will see in the demo of Martin. So we have a bunch of equipment, RAN equipment, and transport equipment connected to the OSNL lab where the ONAP system is running, in which Martin will log into. And that is currently being connected to the i14 Wi-Lab. Now in this demo, we will have a look at service management and orchestration. So on the left-hand side, you can basically see the O-RAN architecture for Open RAN. We have on top the service management and orchestration, which we are implementing based on ONAP. And we have on the left-hand side in the O-RAN architecture the O-RAN components, of which we have implementations. So we have Open RAN network components being deployed in the 5G Berlin test network. We have a mobile core connected to it. So, and of course, we have transport equipment. And all that is being integrated into ONEP via different southbound interfaces according to different standardization organizations. And yeah, we have now reached a status in which, yeah, the network is running. We have 5G standalone mode on air, so we can connect with user equipment to it. We are now working on network slicing and we'll have an emergency use case with network slicing with the Berlin Fire Brigade taking place probably in March this year. Yeah, and now I would like you, Martin, to log in into ONEP, but first you wanted to show.
Exactly,
To map it to the Linux Foundation open source components.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Alphonse. So I just highlighted here. So this is a screenshot from the 5G Super Blueprint and all the components they are targeting in order to construct here 5G networking. Currently, we have components from the O-RAN software community running here. We have, as mentioned, a lot of ONEP components, the CCSDK, SCNC with the SCNR features enabled, VES collectors, DMAP, those kind of commons. We add more and more components into this 5G Berlin network as long as we need them. And of course, everything runs on OpenStack and Kubernetes. Open Daylight is, let's say, the basic from CCSDK and, of course, Docker containers. And in the near future, then we have currently a core running. It's not the Magma core, it's a different core. However, that could be one of the ideas to validate the current running core against the Magma core in the near future. Okay, having said this, I will go now away from the slide sets and we'll open a browser session into that network. So I'm connected here to this URL. As you can already see, it's an SCNC web component which is running, and we call this one SMO, and this is running on the OSNL lab. Now, first of all, we need to log in. There we have another component, open source component for the identity service in order to log in. It's not from the Linux Foundation, but it's very useful. So, and of course I need a password. I always use my password from the default password from ONEP SDNC. Once we are logged in, we are on a kind of entry page, which gives high level information about what's going on here. Currently, there are 2000 NetComp servers connected to the SDNR. Here currently, there are 9000 not connected. I disabled them in order to have a proper demo, and they are running use cases and test cases behind, and I don't want to interfere here. That's one reason. Of course, there are other reasons why these are not connected now. That's one thing. We also see what is the current alarm status of the network. The alarm status is always propagated also on top here. And if somebody is interested here, usually this is a pre-version of SCNR ONAP Jakarta. So you see there this snapshot. However, the Open Daylight, it's a stable version. It's a silicon SDNR1. All this information about the device manager, these are basically the adapters for all the different interfaces you have seen in the slide set before, right? We have here the combination of RAN and 3GPP. We have O-RAN only. We have TR069 adapters, X-RAN adapters, We have ONF adapters in two versions and Open Router. And those, with all these adapter, we can connect to all the different components exposing an EdConf Young interfaces from all the different SDOs. This is running on Apache Carafe, as OpenDaylight is doing so. For the versioning control and all the onboarding and modification of all the applications running in that solution, there are also different apps here. Basically, they're correspondent here with the menu on the right-hand side and the topology API in order to express what is a topology in that network, which is a simulated, and it's a combination of simulators from ORAN software community, but they are also real devices. How it looks like, in order to have here a bigger network and to save some money in those research projects, we use a lot of simulation. But the problem is always, if it goes to RAN and transport, you need to simulate something which is close to, let's say, some real sites and so on. So what we did is we got all the sites from Germany, which we bring into a topology service. And then we construct transport links and so optical transport and microwave transport links. And this way we can also do scaling tests. Yeah. So we have here now 85,000 sites with about 70,000 links, simulated links, most of them, a couple of them are also real. But this is how we use it for test purposes, is to test scalability and test all the different ways of the algorithms which needs to be implemented for machine learning and so on, so that we can validate also the functionality of all the algorithms. If I now go back, you see again this the Berlin map, and here there's one important lab, that's the Heinrich Hertz Institute, that's one of the three angles. The other one is the OSNL lab, which is here hosted. We get some details. So a lot of links are terminated in OSNL, and currently we have a couple of nodes running there. Okay, there is one further aspect which is also important for our test cases in that environment. We can calculate the links between two sites. It's a microwave radio link. There are views available how to do that. So we have the location, and radio engineers, they can select the band and then can do and calculate the entire link. Even RAIN information are available, and you can select the RAIN method. I will not go too much into those details. More interesting, at least from my point of view, was these line of sight tests. We got from the German government also the information about the height across some of the areas. So this is still the link which was also shown in the picture by Alphonse below. It's between one of the sites and the University of Berlin, the Technical University of Berlin. And this link is also now displayed here with all the heights. So we have all the height data in databases available, and show all these heights in order to understand if we have a line of sights between two locations. And I just want to make you aware how it looks like. So you have this big street here in the middle, the red one, and this street is basically this area here. And there was this high tower, which you show on the picture. And from here, we have connectivity to another high building in Berlin. And this is exactly on that level. Okay, what else? Now we can go and see all the connected devices and the non-connected. So currently we have 2,000 connected devices here. Most of them are simulators, but here recently we got from Saragon some devices. We have devices from CommScope, which we demonstrated a lot in the last years. So you go here. If you want to configure and test something, you get a configuration GUI. This UI reads all the exposed young APIs and creates on the fly a configuration UI. Let's see how it works. There is, you can navigate to the young tree. You go in this example, you go to the network element from the ONF. They have a name attribute available. Currently you see, there's a value plug test Saragon A. We are now going to change it because we would like to call it and have it consistent with the ONAP databases. So you can simply go there and do such a configuration. That's one thing of doing it. More important, especially for field engineers and technical persons, we can go to an air interface, which is modeled by the ONF as well. It fetches now some data in background before it can display it. We see here there are a couple of Ethernet endpoints and also microwave physical section that's of interest. And we see air interface status. And in the status, we see real frequencies. Unfortunately, we see also that the link is down at this point in time. And the reason that the link is down gives us also performance values. However, these performance values are not that much of interest because the link is down. But all this data is fetched directly through the devices and is exposed in ONAP. So all the ONAP application can have access to that data if they want to. Some of the data, like alarms, we are exposing on DMAP so that every app in ONAP can have that data available. There's also inventory. Inventory, my nicest example usually is here from CommScope because we know that device very well. So it gives all the serial numbers and some dates and even some further information, manufacturer dates. And it shows also then all the equipment below. And we did show that this is real data and it's consistent also with the UIs of the vendor. With this, I think I can also mention that we have here included the transport PCE UIs, so which talks about a lot about ROADMs. During that presentation now, we had fetched a couple of alarms. These are from the from simulators from the ORAN software community. Those simulations, they expose the open front hall, but there are other types of simulators from the ORAN software community, which expose the O1 data models. Here in that sense, these are NetConf notifications and they come here in real time. They are also available in a database, and so that we have here a complete alarm log and update also the current alarm lists accordingly. With that, I conclude here the demo, and we may want to come to a Q&A session. One more thing, we are preparing the core and user traffic. And for this, we will have the capability to attach remotely some devices. So these are normal smartphones, and we are currently preparing them in three slices so that we have at the end UEs, and would like to demonstrate in future, as was mentioned in March, that we have here three slices, and we were going to add here some applications which really measure the throughput, downlink and uplink, and also the latency on the UEs, which are Android smartphones with in debug mode, and so that we can really demonstrate in future with all the Linux Foundation tools and projects that we can really do some effect on the RAN, on 5G RAN itself. Unfortunately, I could not show this today. Okay, so we have 6 minutes left, maybe for Q&A session. Are there questions?
I have a quick question, Martin. Thank you. Great presentation. In your inventory tab, the capability built here in your inventory, is that based on some standards or something that
yes. ONAP? It is not ONAP active and available inventory. It's the inventory which is abstracted from, or it's a combination from the ONF equipment inventory information, as the ONF core model, and also from the ORAN front hall, which also have inventory. So we get both inventory information and put it in a database which is not active and available inventory. And that is also one of the next things. And I think I saw Andy here on that meeting, which I need to go to the ONAP modeling team in order to how we should consolidate those kind of data. We have other scenarios also currently under discussion in the ORAN working group 9, how we can present a network model inside the service and management orchestration layer, but based on all the different standards which are coming from different SDLs.
Okay, so I'm assuming that based on the kind of layer you're interested in, this could be more customizable. For example, if you are just looking at the optical path, the inventory may include different information elements.
Sure, this is, as you see, so the transport PCI, they talk only about optical inventory, and we could add here filters, or basically we have already filters here where you can filter for manufacturers and so on. It's currently not that we can filter for a technology because we abstract already the technology on this level here, but that could be added on the fly on demand if necessary.
Okay, I think that would be beneficial to have a little bit of extensibility on the inventory module.
Sure.
Which could be part of MNO's pricing strategy. They can build a network per slice requirement and have a differentiated pricing, but it could also be when a large enterprise customer wants specifics, and this could be helpful providing the assurance their slices were built based on their requirement.
Yeah, Correct. So currently we try to abstract all of them and then it filter later on. Yeah. So we could have slice filter, technology filters, vendor filters, domain filters, whatever. But first we try to abstract it, bring everything together and then apply filters on top of it in order to have the capability that application also can cross the technologies if needed. If you have a past computation engine or if you would like to display a complete end-to-end pass for an end user over the network for whatever reason, then we need to have this abstracted way of view of the entire network, including transport, core, RAN, available and the access to all the data.
Thank you very much, sir. Great presentation.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Martin. I have one question. This is Yogin. Did you get any chance to test out in three of configuration tabs the time synchronization aspect of like PTP thing using any of the simulators?
I'm not fully sure if I got the question. I understood something about synchronization. So the synchronization models are available. It's not so, as you can see, we do not have a synchronization app here. We are active in synchronization, also in modeling, in PTP and in IEEE and IoT. They bring all the things together now. We are currently waiting until this effort is done by the different SCOs and they come up with a common model. The IoT is very active right now in synchronization. Once the young models are available, we would add them here and then would ask vendors of synchronization devices to add them. We had a nice synchronization plugfest already back in 2016, where we had, that was also wireless transport, six wireless transport vendors and a clock vendor coming together. And we modified the Grandmaster clock based on performance data. But it's not here, it's not included in ONAP, or there's no ONAP application, and also not on ORAN software community.
But at least we would be able to configure it, right?
Sure. For the configuration, as the configuration UI here is completely, let me go to the ORAN one. It's completely model driven. So at this point in time where it is calling here processing, it reads all the young data models exposed by the NetConf server and then generates on the fly those things. And I assume there is not only uplane,
there's
also
the synplane
here, right? Exactly. But now we can see if it is, if there is something implemented or not, if there is sync status. So it gives me an error. It's
okay,
so simulated. But you see here, it goes, here we have a PTP status available. And this is 100% ORAN, the ORAN sync model from working group 4.
Okay. And then just also curiosity wise, I am getting another follow-up question in the mind is, also you are able to exercise call home with our own app,
Than
a config kind of thing.
The open daylight and also the simulations and most of the vendors we have available and running and demonstrated NetConf call home via SSH, NetConf call home via TLS.
Right, and what was the device there? I mean, the simulator side. It was. I know that there is a.
It's an RU. It's an ORU, which
it's ORU. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we have also some experience from the OTIC Plugfest, with real commercial RUs. ORUs.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Sorry? Can you mention your vendors you used in Berlin?
It's not my vendors, Alphonse. Can we mention vendors?
The DU vendor.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. CU, okay. Yeah. So currently up and running, we have a classical Gnode B from Nokia. So it's not an open RAN architecture, but an integrated device, and we connect to it via mediator. So there is no element management system in between, so no NetAct. So together with a partner, we developed a mediator translating from the proprietary Nokia interface to an O1 interface. We have an open RAN system from Airspan, but all components are from Airspan. We will mix that later on with components from other vendors. But that is not yet integrated into ONAP. This will happen in the months to come. We have a mobile core from NG4T, which is, and NG4T is the company developing the core emulator for Viavi, but it's actually, we use it as a mobile core. We have a mobile core of Polaris and Artonet. Then we have at the transport side, we have a microwave link from Saragon, an OLT, a white box OLT from a company called BSDN. So the white box hardware is of EdgeCore, and the OLTs are from Tibit, and all that is integrated into one box by a company called BISDN. And yeah, that's it basically at the moment. We have already physically available ROADMs from ADVA, but these are not yet integrated, so we're still working on the interfaces. Yeah, and at the next ORAN Plugfest taking place, I think in June, we will be able to connect to all the participants who expose the NetConfiang interface and to participate in that Plugfest in the OTIC Europe at F14 Wireless. So the network is growing, so we are getting ever more equipment there. And
yeah. Thanks.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Now we are also adding end user equipment. So we are setting up a lab together with a series of partners specifically for campus networks. So soon there will not only be, let's say, the 5G network, but devices, user equipment devices. So we're about integrating drones, hands-free cameras for first responders, robots. So not far away from what you have seen where the macro base station is located. We have a laboratory which is basically a factory for research purposes, and there are robots moving around, and there we will have a private 5G network in order to do that. Also at another location, a power distribution system operated by Siemens, one of their power distribution vendors, such that we can have also those application beyond enhanced mobile broadband. But that is, it's growing.
So I have just one more question to ask you, since this is a very good work. I wanted to know, so this ONAP and then the various devices which you have, connected in the list, right? I wanted to ask, is this all through the hierarchical model or of the ORAN SE, or is it a mix of hybrid model also?
Currently, this is I usually mix it up. It's not the hierarchical model, it's a hybrid model, because we have here the ORU's front haul M plane directly connected to ONAP. And the reason is we have those models available, can easily add this to the simulator, and then can verify and validate the young models themselves. That's a nice work of Alex Danko and the simulation project, which he did already in 2019 when the first young models from the Oran Fronthaul came out. So we had a nice exchange with them about how what we see could be improved on the Oran WG4 models. And this is what you have seen here. If there is a hierarchical model, we would not have the connectivity to the OIUs directly, right? Because everything goes to the DU.
Right, and then this very interesting point comes up. So any notifications of the RE going in and down or some of those that has to also be notified to the DUs, right? In the hybrid model.
Yeah. Okay.
So how does that is being taken care in this situation?
So from the ORU we get netconf notification, and there was a service developed on SDNR which translate all the netconf notifications into VEST messages. So it goes first to SDNR, is translated into VEST, and then we forward it to the VEST collector, so that it is going from the VEST collector. The same notifications are then also available in the entire ONAP.
Okay. So basically then the DU has to subscribe to that to get that, correct?
In a real world scenario, the DU gets subscribes directly via netconf to the RU.
Correct. That is what we, I understand from the hierarchical model it will be, right? But in the hybrid model, since the DU is not going to manage the RU, right? And any events of the RU has to go to the SMO, which is the ONAP in this case, right? Mm-hmm. And the DU has to know about that event if it is, RU has gone down for some mm-hmm. reason. And then he should stop emitting the TX and RX, right? Then he should be aware of that event. It means the DU has to subscribe to the ONAP to get that information.
Right? Yeah, and this is now an ORAN architecture discussion, right? But my understanding still is that the DU always needs to know and needs to have a connectivity to the RU, even if the M plane is also to this mode directly. So what I try to say is that from RU point of view, you would have two subscriptions, one from the DU and one from the mode.
Okay. I see your point.
I have, Martin, this is Shankar. I have a question. I don't know if you have time.
I don't know. I think there is no session after our session. So if so somebody needs to continue with the session and would like to interrupt it, just let me know. Otherwise, I'm happy to answer all the questions directly here.
Okay. So I'll ask anyway. You showed very nice work. I know we have talked about this, but I had not seen this particular screen. So you showed the alarms coming from the RU. So in the fault or performance, is there something coming from the DU or CU also in this project?
From let me think.
The Gnode B or?
From the Gnode B, we do not have performance data yet implemented. And the reason is I'm lacking a little bit the young models for performance data.
Right.
And okay. And this is also the assumption is here that the DU is going to send WebSocket SDN1 notification it is implemented or it is defined by CGPP. The discussion problem. Behind, right? Exactly. It's the same problem like you have.
Same problem we have been discussing. Slow.
Exactly.
I was wondering if you had some like a pre-standard version.
No. Unfortunately not.
Yeah. So that was performance. But what about fault? Is there like a VES?
Yeah, for fault messages, it's the same. So these GNUD-B, which we have here in place, it performs fault message in a VES format, but it's not the standard defined VES. It's still the older one, the VES fault. Yeah, because at the time this mediator was implemented between the vendor proprietary interface and the standardized interface, the VES standard defined was not defined or whatnot, it was not implemented.
That's interesting. The fault actually comes from the node to the mediator using whatever proprietary format, and then the mediator sends a VES message, right?
Yeah, correct. Nice. We lack a little bit on these standardized commercial available network functions, which expose already OAM functionality. Yeah. Still, the vendors, to my knowledge, they are really still in optimizing the user plane, because that's what they are going to sell in future, and the plane comes in on top of that.
So in this project, you did not need to make any connection to the in this case, the EMS, the NetAct?
No, there's no NetAct because we're not able to.
It's not needed, okay.
Well, it's also a cost factor, right? It's really hard for me to add a NetAct here somewhere in this picture, but it's also not our view of ORAN and how we would like to operate the network.
Oh, that part I do understand. That, but I'm curious if there's a real devices attaching to real classical GNODEBs, you still need some. You do everything through this O1 mediator.
We can do everything through this O1 mediator. Unfortunately, that O1 mediator, of course, it cannot be an open source project, right?
Right.
But we have access to the developer there.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, we, at that point, we are collaborating with another ORAN Alliance member, a company called Micronova. And they have, on behalf of Telefonica and Vodafone, they work a lot with the big RAN vendors, that is to say, Nokia, Ericsson, and Huawei. So they have a very intimate understanding, as they do configure, do mass configuration of the radio access networks of those two operators. Mm-hmm. And they were able to develop that mediator that directly accesses the device and does not go through NetAct.
Yeah, that's nice. And it's interesting that you could have the whole node running just using the mediator.
Yes, it's not yet full-fledged, the mediator. Right. So they implemented the things that we needed for doing basic things, and it will also be good for, let us say, demonstrating network slicing.
Yes.
But that's something we are still working on. So hopefully in March or so, March at latest April, we should be able to really demonstrate dynamic network slicing in a use case where the fire brigade, they have a tablet computer. And then they can say, okay, this is the location of the emergency. I want to have a network slice of a diameter, let's say 200 meters around that. And then they prep, and then they get a network slice giving them preference over all other users of the mobile network.
Wow, nice. Can I'll defer if somebody else has questions. But I did want to ask if the mediator is there one per node, or is there some kind of, can it, this one mediator handle multiple nodes?
That goes into a discussion which we have from the very beginning. So there is one mediator instance, one translation instance per node, and those can run in Docker containers on what we call mediator VM. So this then can combine a lot of mediators and yeah But okay. It's there are some debates going back and forth. Right. What is a mediator? What's a mediator instance? What's a mediator manager? And so on. And so on.
Right.
Just to give you an idea, we are also working also in the microwave area with mediators. In that case, the mediators were developed by the vendors in the microwave space. So and in that case, Ericsson, Huawei, and CI developed mediators for their microwave devices. And we integrate and translate it from proprietary interfaces to an ONF compliant NetConf Yang interface, and that's what we integrated into the SDN controller, and we rolled that out in the production network of Telefonica in Germany, and we have now 30,000 links under the SDNC control in their network, in their production network.
Okay. Nice.
So it can work with mediators. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Right? But of course, it's always better having a standards compliant NetConf
yes.
Yang device directly on the device. It's definitely better. So right,
I just want to mention that.
Many, many difficulties.
Yeah. Because if you have always somebody in the middle, there are limits. Yeah. Mm.
You know, but this at least shows, you know, you're handling the scale of so many NetConf endpoints, whether it's with mediator or without mediator. Right?
Correct.
So it keeps making progress towards the vision, right? The target.
Yes.
So and you have seen on the screen these many, many little blue dots. And mm-hmm. and so our objective for the next maybe 2-3 months is, or let's say at the end of the fourth quarter to complete that. At the moment, we have about 90,000 sites. So it's of all three established mobile operators in Germany. So we still have to identify which site belongs to which operator. But basically, one needs roughly 30,000 macro sites for
No, we lost. I lost audio.